So today's gospel lesson comes from the gospel according to St. Luke, and we're going to be in chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. This is maybe a very familiar story to a lot of you today. Chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Friends, listen and hear the word of God. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and so she came and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to work all by myself? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, and there is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Will you pray for me, church? And I'll pray for you. Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be seen as holy and acceptable to you, because you are our rock and our redeemer. We gather here today, O Lord, with a great hope, and that is that you would speak to us. So speak to us, Lord. Your servants are listening. Amen. If you would, do me a favor and hold out both hands in front of you, palms up. Palms up. And I want you to look at your hands and imagine the hands of God the Father. Scripture tells us that those hands dug into the fertile ground and formed humanity. But that wasn't enough. They took that formed humanity and breathed into them the breath of life. We call that creation. Now, take your pinky on one of your hands and touch it to the palm of the other, like that. And imagine God the Son's hands, the hands that redeemed the world. Those are the hands that nails were rammed through. See how he loves us. And now one more time, just look at your hands and think of the Holy Spirit. These are the Holy Spirit's hands, the hands you see right in front of you. That's what it means to be a disciple. That's what it means to be a missionary. Knowing that the Father's hands created and continue to create in each one of you and every person that you meet. Knowing that the hands of a Savior bear the marks of faithfulness, the marks of salvation. And that the Spirit's hands are your hands to touch and to bless and to work within creation. What I want you to notice about God, or what I hoped you noticed about our God, is ours is a two-handed sword of God. Let me say more about that. There's a symbol of America that may be beginning to diminish, but I'd like to think it's not. It's baseball, the American pastime, the symbol of the American summer. And you'll notice in baseball that you have a great big mitt and a little bitty ball, and that by the time you catch a ball in a mitt, you're already preparing to throw. It's our introduction into multitasking. One hand for doing one thing, and another hand for doing something completely different. By and large, we Americans are good at multitasking, and we learned it from a young age. I was looking the other day for a new truck, because I like my truck. It's got a manual transmission in it, but I need an extended cab, because we have children everywhere. And, I couldn't find a manual transmission. We love the automatic transmission, so I can have one hand free to adjust the radio, to talk on the cell phone, to swap back in the back at children. We eat fast food, so I can surf the internet and pull French fries with the other hand. My age group and the age group younger than me, they can write a paper, go to a party, text their way into a romantic relationship, and keep up with the basketball scores all in the same night and practically in the same moment. And I hear the older generation making fun of us the way older generations always do, but you're no different. It's as if life is like a supermarket. We have one hand on the cart. while we use the other hand as always available to grab whatever we want, this myriad of experiences and opportunities from each side of the aisle, tossing each possibility into the cart as if just another consumer possibility. We don't even think much about it. And I wonder what interrupts our one-handed culture. What are the things it takes both hands to do? When I traveled alone abroad for the first time, I held on to my passport with two hands. Maybe it's a project that you throw yourself into with everything you got. Maybe it was that last person that you held that you loved, or the last person that you held who was sick, that took you out of your one-handed culture. As you look back on your life, I wonder which one of the moments were the moments that you needed two hands for. To put it another way, what were the places that you were content to be silent? No iPod, no radio, no conversation, no snacking, just beauty, just peace. You're struck by the depth or the gravity of the situation. And I wonder who are the people that you are content to be silent around, still with? Not to have great laughs with, not to have great debates with, not to have great fun with. No, just company, stillness, companionship. Now, I want to suggest to you that those are the places and these are the people with whom and for whom you can be still, through whom you can know what matters most. And you figure out what living with both hands is all about. Now, 1,600 years ago, St. Augustine of Hippo distinguished between two kinds of things. Augustine said, one of the things is the things that we enjoy. These are things that are worthwhile just because they are. They're not a means to a greater end. They're joys in and of themselves. You don't have to make an argument for them. They never run out. They speak for themselves. They're things like friendship, beauty, worship, a great meal, good art, good music. They can't be used for something. They are just meant to be enjoyed for no greater purpose. And the other kind of thing Augustine talked about were the things that we use. These aren't bad things. They're just not as good as the things that we enjoy. They're means to a greater end. Like making money is not as good as nurturing a friendship, because making money is just something that we use to another greater end, something better than money. The things we use, they run out. They serve only a limited purpose. I want to suggest that the things that we take and the things that we grasp and juggle in one hand are the things that we use, but the things that we yearn for, the things that we treasure, that we shape our whole posture and our whole life to receive, these are the things we enjoy. What we use requires one hand. What we enjoy requires two hands. But to enjoy something or someone, we really need both hands, because it takes all of our concentration. So you heard that story about Mary and Martha today in Luke's gospel, and we see the contrast between a one-handed culture and a two-handed culture. Martha struggles to do many important things. These are good things that Martha is doing. She's showing hospitality. But when we realize that she is in the presence of Jesus, they just don't seem so important. It seems that Martha wants to take God with one hand and then do everything else with the other at the same time. And then we see Mary on the other hand. She sits at Jesus' feet with nothing better in the world to do than just enjoy the presence of God, much to her sister's annoyance. For Mary, God truly is a two-handed project. Martha's a multitasker. And Jesus inevitably becomes for her, for Martha, just another item that she's going to put in her shopping cart. Mary, on the other hand, has only one concern in mind. Enjoy Jesus. Nothing for her is more important than that. Martha uses, Mary enjoys. I want to say a little more about the things we enjoy and what it means. It's easy for us Christians to look at the state of the world and begin anxious hand-wringing. And we want to show that we're doing something worthwhile. We want to show people that we're useful, in this world. Think of that word, useful. That means we are busy, full of activity. We're hard to pin down. But when we are hard to pin down and living this useful life all the time, we're not living in God's time. Because those who live in God's time inspire people to enjoy and to see that life is about enjoying God and the way God enjoys us. Today we read Genesis chapter 2, the end of the creation story. With a whole world to create, God rested. God rests to enjoy what God has made. God enjoys. And what that means, that when we enjoy, we trust that God has given us enough time to accomplish everything that needs to be accomplished. And that the greatest things in life cannot be accomplished. Rather, they may only simply be enjoyed. Here's an example. Recall, we had VBS here just not even a month ago. And we'll 10 minutes to go, and the leaders are beginning to tidy up. And some kid comes up and says, does God have a face? Don't say, hey, you know, go talk to the pastor, kid. I don't have time. Don't make a joke of it. Enjoy this moment. Say, I wonder if the stars are his hair. I wonder if the mountains are a beard. I wonder if the ocean is God's eyes. We know God has hands, don't we? They have scars in them. And then take the child's hands, both of them, and you say, these are the Holy Spirit's hands. Enjoy the moment. Here's another example. It's Sunday school has just finished, and there's a transition between Sunday school and worship. Maybe it's a time to, maybe it is a time of transition where you're getting coffee, and a friend comes up and they say, it's been 20 years to this day since my husband died. Don't say, wow, time flies, I'm so sorry. Enjoy this moment. It's not going to be pleasurable, but it's going to be deep. Say, have you ever loved another? Does it still hurt? Enter into that deep moment with this person. It is a moment to take another by the hands for once in our life, to bear one another's burdens, as St. Paul says, for in this we fulfill the law of Christ. You see, living with both hands, it takes time, because what you receive with both hands takes longer to assimilate than what we seize with one. Above all, living with two hands, it takes gentleness, because treasuring moments and people or places with both hands rather than grabbing them with one, we have to notice, carefully attending to their difference from you and learning to rejoice in that difference. Notice that this distinction between using and enjoying applies to God too. God doesn't use us. God enjoys us. Two hands in the dirt to create. Two hands on a cross to redeem. In other words, we're not some consumer good that God tosses in the cart of eternity only to wait until another day called judgment to deal with us. On the contrary, the whole life of God is shaped to be in relationship with us and to enjoy us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Christian revelation of God in Christ is that God is with us. God never deals with us with one hand. God contorts his whole body, even twisting it on a cross, arms spread wide to be with us. God always approaches with both hands, because God's creation means everything to God. There's nothing more important in God's life than us. There's no reason to multitask. We are God's joy. The great mystery, of course, is the mystery of whether we will enjoy God in return. Whether we will shape our life in order to receive God two-handedly, or simply try to just use God as one more consumer good in our shopping cart. You see, this is the great fallacy of American Christianity. That we use God as a means to some greater end, something like healing or eternal life or a better family or a fixed self. The great foolishness of this thinking is that anything could be better than God. American Christians, we spend so much time and money doing self-help, trying to figure out the perfect method of prayer, as if prayer were some kind of magical incantation that if we just got the words right, we could do abracadabra poof. We want the four steps to enlightenment, the pathway to deliverance. And I stand guilty. But those of us who look for a way, we may find it. Those of us who want healing or to cast out demons, we may do it. But the wiser path, the better path, is to discover Jesus. Because that is better than a pathway to enlightenment or the four steps to wholeness. A Reformation-era description of the Christian faith said that we were made to enjoy God forever. Humanity's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy God forever, says the Westminster Shorter Catechism. That church taught its people to enjoy God because they knew that that Genesis 2 story about creation wasn't just a story about long ago, but it was a story about where we are heading. That on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, rested and hallowed it only because God rested. God creates so that God might enjoy. God works so that God might enjoy. And the chief thing creation is made for is to enjoy God. So we slow down. We practice Sabbath. Practice enjoying. Practice living with both hands. And eternity begins encroaching upon us. We were made for this. Now, enjoyment can't happen all the time or even most of the time. But I think it can happen more than we realize. It's not always pleasurable, but it's always deep. And it always requires both hands. I don't know how many of you have been down to the farm that we've started on Fires Creek at Stillwater's Landing, but if you go down there just before dusk, and if you're heading back from the pig pens and the river's on, it feels like air conditioning blowing across the field, and you can look up at the mountain ridge up that takes you up into the sky, and if you follow it down to the river's edge, it takes two hands. And on a great day, when I see my wife and children walking up toward me and the cool wind pushes across a hot field, I stop. And I could speak a word of praise to God, but I don't. Only silence will do. Moments like that take two hands. And so that brings me to my final question, and it's a question that only you can answer. Has your formation in the Christian faith taught you how to enjoy and what to enjoy? Or has it simply taught you how to use and what to use? Is God just another thing in your shopping cart? Something you use to make you feel better about yourself? Or when you look back on your life in 30, 40, 50 years' time, will you be able to say, I enjoyed God and I helped others to do so. And I am ready to enjoy God and be enjoyed by God forever. Then, and perhaps only then, will you be able to say you have been a Christian. Because God's call to each one of us is, in the end, just about one word. Enjoy. Amen.